As you know, there were several of us that went to Arizona for a mission trip this week. ASEM, American Indo-Christian Mission, was where we spent the last 9 days, and I've got to tell you, it was absolutely incredible. It was an opportunity to serve in ways like we've never maybe experienced, some of us never before in our lives, and it was a very powerful moment. As we take a look, and I've been doing a lot of studying on this recently. One of the projects I'm working on right now for Ozark Christian College for one of my classes is this concept of mission. Not missions, plural, mission, singular. God has one mission. It's referred to, if you want to get fancy and intellectual, it's referred to as the Missio Dei. It's the mission of God. We tend to get a little bit confused, and a lot of times we think that in the Old Testament, God's mission was to use the nation of Israel, and that was his chosen people, and that's how God worked. And in the New Testament, God wants to use the church, and that's how he works. But what we don't realize is that the two are the same. God wanted to use the nation of Israel, and if you read through 1st or 2nd Chronicles and some of Kings and Isaiah and Jeremiah and a lot of the Psalms, you see this very clearly. God wanted to use the nation of Israel to reach the nations. And of course, as the New Testament, our Great Commission, Matthew 28, says, go into all of the world, all nations. God's mission has not changed. His mission is to seek and save the lost, regardless of whether they are Israelite or European descent Americans or Native Americans or wherever they might be on this planet. We get to experience that a little bit this week. One of the ministries we support as a church is American Indo-Christian Mission. They're in Sholo, Arizona. They work primarily on the White Mountain Apache Reservation. It's a reservation of about 100,000 square miles. It's large. Has a population of just under 5,000 people that live on it. So it's sparse. And yet they are a nation that needs, they are a sovereign nation, but they are a nation that needs the message of Jesus Christ. They are a nation that needs the hope that can be found in Jesus Christ. And we're going to share with you this morning on how God worked through our team in order to do that. So I'm going to call my team up here, and while they're coming up, guys, if you want to slide this way a little bit further, we were really heavily weighted to that side of the room first service, and so slide over this way just a little bit more. While they're coming up here, you're going to see a dozen of us. There actually were 18 of us that went. There are the three Shepiks. If you don't know Jesse and Christy and Emma Shepik, they usually sit back in the back side over here, usually during second service. And they went with us, but they decided to go ahead and take some time and go to the Grand Canyon and going up into Utah and see some sites before they came back this way. And so they are not here with us this morning. And then my daughter Hannah, she was an intern there for 2 summers. And one of the co-interns with her was Paige Harris. Paige went with us along with one of Paige's friends from Bartlesville, Oklahoma. And the three of them had to leave this morning to get back to Joplin. They're already back in Joplin now. That's how early they left. So they're not able to be here either. I've got some text messages that I will share from each of them as we go through this, because I asked them to jot some thoughts down. But they're not here. So this team was 18 people. And church, I got to tell you, you can be proud of the representatives that we sent to Sholo, Arizona this week, because these guys did phenomenal. So we're going to start off where I should have started off with first service, Dale. I'm going to give you that and just introduce yourself so that if they don't know who you are, they can know who you are.
I'm Dale.
I'm Nate.
Alexa.
Cassandra.
I'm Lydia.
Well, for those of you who don't know, I had the opportunity of being blessed is being able to minister with 5 of my family members and 4 of my grandchildren. And my name is Phil Christensen.
David.
Alexa.
Abigail.
Jaden.
Jillian.
So we're going to kind of do this interview style, because whenever I was talking with these guys ahead of time, I'm like, all right, so who wants to talk about what when we do this presentation? It was as bad as when I tell you guys a joke, okay? It was like crickets chirping, and there was not a peep, because nobody wanted to, they're like, not me. And so we're going to kind of do this interview style, and so what I want to start off with is I want you to start off and hand it back to Jillian, and we'll let you go first. Well, the mic's already down there. What I want you to do is I want you to just start off by telling us what work projects. We worked in the morning, went to the reservation in the afternoon. We'll get to the reservation in a minute. I want you to share what projects you worked on and just share what you did. So, go ahead.
Okay. I rearranged the library, and I did blue bus prep.
I picked up trash and cleaned, like, organized some of the library.
I did the library and blue bus prep.
Library and clean up trash.
I didn't get to do a whole lot of labor because I had health issues.
The work Dave got to do is a prayer, a walk and a prayer session, and we'll talk about that more in a minute, too.
Well, it was interesting how we were praying before we got there, all for weeks, that God would bring the people that were needed and use us. And God had gifted me in a particular area. So the first thing that happened was everybody, we found out the next day that they had no hot water in the showers. And that was the first thing that I was able to get going. And then as the day progressed, the superintendent gave me the opportunity with Jesse to build a set of stairs for a lady who has been at the ministry, and she's 90-something years old, and we had to rebuild her stairs. And then we went on to minister to a family that lived nearby, almost next door, to paint their home they were selling, and he had had a couple of strokes, so we were able to minister to him. And then the next day was my expertise. They hung some drywall, and nobody knew how to finish it, so I had to do it. And and then we had the opportunity. I went on the prayer walk, which we'll talk about later. But then I had the opportunity of the girls' dorm. Their door wouldn't close, and we fixed that, and the girls tore off the toilet paper holder.
And it was like this all week long.
Along with Jesse helped me on all these projects. And anyway, so that's pretty much what I did.
I helped rearrange the library. We moved probably like 800 books from one bookshelf, moved the bookshelf, put the books back on there. It was a lot of books. And then I helped with the blue bus prep.
Library, blue bus prep, and then prayer walk.
I did blue bus prep, and then I did the prayer walk, and then I painted in the house.
I built trails around the camp, and I cleaned off a man's yard. We took a bunch of stuff that he had in his old house he was moving, and we moved it to a dump.
Me, along with a few of the young ladies that aren't here, painted inside a cabin that the housing unit
staff
lives in.
These guys, church, you'd be proud of these guys. All week long. In fact, Tim and Diana, Tim is kind of our de facto on-campus coordinator when Jeff Klein, our operations guy, our executive guy, can't be there. And he kind of heads up all the maintenance stuff. And Diana does our office managing. And they told us that they have not had two teams, this team and a team from Inola, Oklahoma, Tulsa area, they have not had two teams integrate so well together and work so well together as ours. Now, I bet they say that to everybody. But it really went well. And he did point out also that he heard not a word of complaint. And I didn't either. These guys did not complain about anything all week long, about what they were called to do, what they were asked to do. Sometimes it was some pretty rough stuff. You know, I mean, painting a house. We can paint houses here, right? This is a neighbor of the ministry that has been a blessing to the ministry for a long time. He's had a couple of strokes. She had some serious back surgery. They're trying to move their away from there to some place where they can have a little more assistance. And so we got to help be a blessing back to them. And a lot of things that we were able to do. These guys did a phenomenal job on working together and doing that. And the relationships and the things that were, the bonds that were forged on this team, along with a few others, are phenomenal. I asked the ones who couldn't be here this morning to share some thoughts. And Jesse, Jesse and Emma and Christy Shepik, and then Hannah and Paige and Beth are back in Joplin. Jesse texted me this. He says, here's my comment, my takeaway. He said, first of all, when you feel the nudge from the Holy Spirit to join a team on a trip like this, just do it. Words cannot describe the humbling and the spiritually encouraging experience you will have. As Christians, he says, we know it's not about us, the individual, but this type of experience helps put that into action for a longer period of time than is generally experienced in our own home environments, and that immersion in continuous kingdom work is a great experience, and it's a reality check. And then he says, second of all, thank you. Some of you have been praying for them. Some of you have helped support them financially. And he says, thank you for the opportunity to go. And his family was impacted pretty hard. So let's talk about the Blue Bus ministry. The Blue Bus, when we work on the campus in the morning, but then we go down onto the reservation in the afternoons, and we take a bus that is, I don't know where they came up with the name. We take a bus that's blue. See, that's what it sounded like whenever I asked these guys what they wanted to share. Nobody peeped. It's a blue bus, so they call it the Blue Bus Ministry. And so we'd go down on the reservation and do kind of a VBS-style event and interact with some kids. So now we'll start with this end and Dale, and we'll work our way back down that way. Let's talk about what we did on the Blue Bus Ministry and how it impacted you guys.
Well, what I found really great to see is they, just a couple weeks before we got there, they just started serving meals during this time when they're interacting, and got to see a lot more adults join in with meals.
I got the opportunity to go down to their basketball court and play baseball with them. And we got to teach them how to play baseball. Some of them didn't know.
So we were able to, like Dale said, be able to like eat and like serve meals to them and physically sit down like with the kids and eat dinner with them. And I like that, where I could like talk to a kid and like ask them like, how's their day going or week going? And they'll tell us like, you know, school starts soon, and I bought some school supplies. And it's just good to build the connections that they have with the kids that come up to you and they want to sit by you.
Same thing as Alexa. I like that we got to sit down with the kids and build relationships with them. And even though we all knew that we weren't able to keep, well, we are still able to keep the relationship, but we're not able to go with them. I like that we were able to build relationships and that they served dinner for them, because not a lot of those kids do eat dinner every day like us.
My favorite part was when we would go to pick up the kids. They are not used to getting attention and affection. They're not used to being the center of attention. They don't get to feel important all that often. But when we went on the Blue Bus to pick them up, their faces, every time they got onto the bus, they had the biggest smiles across their face because they were the only one we were focused on, and they loved that.
Yeah, I was gonna say similar thing, that when we went to pick up the kids, first of all, we had the opportunity of seeing where they live. And you talk about a community that is just so, they just don't have anything, and it just breaks your heart to see what they're living in. And then we get on the bus and we're able to develop relationships with the kids, and that's what the beginning of the relationship starts. Those of us who went on the bus with them to the community, and then in the community, the first day, I kind of felt a little bit, what should I say, not able to do much, because the girls and that were all doing the VBS type of things, and they're doing relationships, but then they wanted my hands to paint my nails. So I did offer that. And then as the week went on, I went with a group that, and we played baseball with them. And that was just an absolute joy for me to be with them and to experience the joy of them having an experience of playing with us.
Speaking of the fingernails, you see mine are still painted. The very first time we went, I was very apprehensive to have it done. but I went ahead and did it. And they actually did them twice this time, and I said, this time I said, I'm leaving on until I get home. But to see those girls' eyes light up when you sit down there and, you know, they're going to paint your fingernails, and their eyes just light up like stars. And they have such a wonderful time doing it. I said I decided to leave mine on till this time, till we got home. Won't take long. When I get to the house, it'll come off. But and it's not just that. We play games with them. We do other little things with them that it just gets to you.
Are you going to go out for dinner today with those nails on?
It's a little bit of add on to what Dave said. A lot of the girls would love to paint guys' nails. Like, the guys were the first ones to get their nails done. Preacher Jeff actually got 10 different shades of pink on his fingernails one day.
10 different shades.
But a lot of kids are like, the kids. What my favorite part was that the last few days, more adults kept coming. And there were quite a few adults the last day. And it was very moving that some adults decided to come when, yes, it's mainly aimed for the kids, but I'm glad that there are some adults that are like, these are helping our kids. And we kind of gave everyone, every age group in the community hope that there's hope for them, no matter how bad their living situation is.
My favorite part was whenever we would go pick up the kids on the blue bus, and like they would sprint out of their houses with like a really big smile on their face.
My favorite part was probably when we played like baseball, and like helping this kid Tanner to run to the bases, because he would run to like second and then home, and so yeah.
The community we were working with was a smaller community on the reservation called Carrizo. Less than 5,000 White Mountain Apaches. Most of those are centered in White River or in Cibicue. And Carrizo is a small community. They actually don't want them to stay there. They would like to run them out of that canyon and move them into the larger communities. They don't want them to stay there. And so, oh good grief, it's been probably 10 or 12 years ago, there was a fire on one of the ridges. And they used the water there in the town. The chemicals that they used to put out the fire contaminated the water. This town has no water. They bring in a couple of water buffaloes and park them around the town full of water so that people can get drinkable water. They can't use the water that comes out of the sink, and you definitely don't want to use the water that's in the creek. It's pretty bad. And because of that, it's a very dark, spiritually dark place. The first day especially, we got off the bus, the first day I was there, you can feel the spiritual oppression in this place. Satan has a grip on the Apache people and does not want to let loose. I think probably because he understands they're a threat. I met a guy named Cowboy. A lot of them go by nicknames. There was Cowboy, there was Tristan, and there was Cookie. One of those names is probably the real name. The other two are probably not. Cowboy, I got to see some of the Apache spark in his attitude. He was very animated. He was very proud of his heritage, whereas most of it is apathy. Most of them they want to just get through the day and go on. Even the kids, there's just not a hope among these kids, and you could see that when they would get on the bus. Christy said this. She said, "His kingdom, all capitals. His kingdom is so much greater than Sedalia, Missouri, and our surrounding area. We are called to come out of our comfort zone and love on the least of these, whether that's someone who lives across your street, across the country, across the world. Whoever he places on your heart, get out of your comfort zone and go." And then she cites Matthew 25, which is the passage where Jesus says, "If you give a cup of water, even to one of these little ones, you've done it for me." She says, "Getting to worship and love on the people from a different people group was such a beautiful representation of what our future will hold when we are worshiping our King in heaven. I can't wait to get to heaven to see people from every tribe and every nation worshiping the one true God together. So until he calls me home, I will strive to love on the least of these. And then their daughter, Emma, the last day, re-delivering the kids back to their homes was emotional. Because you build attachments. I mean, how many of you guys attached yourselves to a kid and didn't want to let go? Yeah, you build these emotional attachments and you love on these kids. The little girl that kind of clung to Emma all week was, she did not want to get off the bus because she knew it was the last day and she knew that going back to her home, she knew it would be better to go home with Emma than it would be to go back to her own home. Seeing that wrecked a lot of us emotionally and spiritually. And Emma says this. She says, it's hard to find the words to even describe the change the past week has made on me, and I'm sure everyone else that went on this trip. The Lord has blessed us all beyond what we deserve, and it's hard to even wrap my mind about what we did to get this life that we are all blessed with. The hurt and the poverty weighed heavy on my heart and has left me questioning the way I live my own life. It breaks my heart that I cannot do more for this community and these kids because saying bye to them is probably the hardest thing I've ever had to do in my life. All I can do is encourage you, church, to pray for the people of the White Mountain Reservation as that is the best thing that we can offer them. Pray that the Lord will send more people to show them love and hope. And pray for the kids because at young ages, their lives are already harder than ours will ever be. I'm so thankful that our family has brought us to this church and for the opportunity that I had to go on this trip. Thank you for all the prayers while we were there. She says her life has been changed. The White Mountain Apache Reservation, the lifespan for the men on this reservation is somewhere around 37 years of age. If you make it to 37, you are extremely fortunate. There's a lot of drugs and alcohol. There's a lot of gang activity. Suicide is at epidemic proportions in these communities. Most of the men on the reservation will have if they're still alive by 37, they may have some chronic health problems because of the abuse that they've gone through with their bodies with some of the things that they've experienced. And so because of that, as we look at these kids, we saw a 10-year-old kid and realized that his life is 25 to 35% over already. You know, we might get 70 or 80 on average. Those boys will get Demikas, is that his name? Demikas and Moto, a couple of the boys that were running around. They were like non-stoppable. They were energetic. But just looking at them, knowing their lifespans are so short, if they had the hope that Jesus offers, that can make a drastic, drastic difference in their lives. A few years ago, there was a boy named Fernando who was about 12 or 13. And I was hoping, this is about 6 years ago, I was hoping to find him 2 years ago when we went, but I found out 2 years ago that he and his brother had both committed suicide at 12. 12 and 14 or 15. There's not a lot of hope. If Jesus can... If Jesus can show them the hope that he offers, if they can see that, that can change things drastically. Somebody describe the ministry that Nesba has. Nesba is a Navajo that came out of AICM. She is a product of the ministry. She went to school there. She graduated from there. Her name means warrior woman who surrounds. And so somebody describe Nesba's ministry. What does she do there? Somebody pass the mic.
Nesba is one of the teachers there at the school. She teaches health and history, and she's also, she prays a lot. So during the mornings when we were still on the mission, she had one of the little activities or whatever you want to call it. It was a prayer walk. So we would sit in the chapel and we would pray for like an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then we would take a walk around the campus and keep praying while we do that.
These are the trails that Nate was working to build.
Yes. Her prayers just gave me chills every time I heard them. She's so, so good at praying.
Nesba, her name, it means warrior woman who surrounds us. She surrounds this ministry in prayer. Hannah talks about Nesba. She says, ASM has always been a meaningful place to me. My first encounter was when I was a freshman in high school. She went on a trip with us from Kabul. It's been an influential place for me ever since then. If you don't know, I spent 2 summers there as an intern and developed close relationships and friendships with the staff and many people from the reservation. It was especially special to see the staff, especially this past week. She says that she really enjoyed the pleasure of witnessing her little brother and 2 sisters. Sure, she probably would say grandpa too. Serving together at one of her favorite places and watching God develop their heart for people. It's always cool to see friends and family have their eyes open to some very real struggles that the Apache Reservation encounters. And I see God working through these teens and these adults who came, not just opening their eyes, but developing their hearts to love the church, to be an outreach to those kids through the Blue Bus. And I love God watching God transform their thinking throughout this. They were so intentional with the VBS and the crafts and the Bible stories and the coloring and the painting of nails and all of that. They brought me to tears on the last day when they cried saying goodbye. It's amazing to watch. And then she says, Nesba. She says, the part that transformed me most was my prayer time with Nesba. She inspires me and everyone at the mission to be surrounded in prayer constantly. Nesba helped me reconcile myself with God this week and encouraged me to be more intentional with prayer, praying scripture, bringing it all to God, confessing, asking for forgiveness. She is a well-needed part of AICM's ministry. Nesba's an encouragement to all of us, and what she does is remind us that we can work and we can work and we can work and we can work, but if we're not building that on the foundation of prayer and scripture, then it's not as valuable as it could be. Our efforts don't really hold that much weight if we're not undergirding with prayer, and so hers is, in fact, Dad, I think you said it at one point. You said you went and prayed with her, and you felt like you should be doing something. Only to get, when he got down to the house they were painting, to find out that they got it done without him. They didn't really need him. Because if we can't undergird it with prayer, it doesn't have the point that it should have. So let's start it again. Who's got the mic? Lydia, you've got the mic. So we'll start there and go one way or the other. Send it that direction, and I'll send this mic this direction for now. How did God impact you this week? What did God do in you, or maybe through you, this week? So, Lydia, why don't you start and then pass it to Dad. You don't need to think about it because you answered it first service. Then pass it to Dad, and you can think for a minute.
Back to you.
On Sunday, we went to
White Mountain Apache
White
Christian
Mountain,
Church.
Yeah. And there was a group there from, where were they from?
Indiana.
From Indiana. And they were going to be holding revival services and feeding the people after the services. And we were there on Sunday. And I have to say that message that the pastor spoke on really inspired me with... He spoke on all the miracles, some of the miracles that Jesus performed, and the people that were involved in either bringing the people there or the faith that they had. And that really has touched my life to believe that God will perform miracles.
We spent the morning every day at the chapel with Nesba, you know, praying and going over stuff. And she is also the camp cook. And she is one phenomenal cook. I mean, I don't think we had a bad dish at all.
Yeah, Imogene is the kitchen director, and she helped out. Nesba did help out quite a bit.
But... It was just, it. You ever get a chance to go. I know I'm already planning on going next time. But.
What I saw was that, it says somewhere in the Bible, I can't remember where, it was said when we were there, God can, It was the story of Joseph. That's it. God sometimes uses bad situations to have good outcomes. And God has shown me throughout my past few years of my life that even if I have a bad situation, there's always good that come out of it. I'd have a bad situation and I would say, okay, I'm learning from this. And this trip was one of those things where, yes, the group that we went to go, the Carrizo community, was a bad situation. But when you see the impact you make on all those kids and even all the adults we saw on this last few days, you can tell that even though they are in a bad situation, you could be their good outcome.
Probably like Nisba and like the prayer walk, because like when you would walk by her, you get the chills because how good she is at like praying.
I don't know, maybe like making me realize that everyone is going through something and that you should like just be like appreciative like what you have, because like some of the kids like didn't have, like I would ask them like, did you have lunch, and they would like say no. And so yeah,
what I learned more importantly is prayer and how it really does affect and utilize people. And like Jeff had stated, that sometimes we just get in our own world of prayer and don't really think about all the important things. So he made a suggestion to write it down and keep a journal or something, just to, so you can reflect back on the prayers that are really needed and how effective they are.
On the reservation, we were shown a lot of poverty. There was a lot of trash. There wasn't a lot of hope. And on our last day, I was on the bus that dropped off that little girl that didn't want to go home. And some of the kids knew that we weren't coming back. So on the way back, it was pretty hard for a lot of people. There was a lot of sadness. But on the way home, we saw a double rainbow. And a rainbow means a promise. So I think God was trying to tell us something on the way home.
So just like the bus would come into Carrizo and it's on a hill, so you would go down and we would honk the horn and it would really impact me when they see us, and they would like flood out their homes and they'll be like so happy. Like we were like, they were happy when they came to us. It made it really hard for us to send them away.
I have a question. Who was the guy who was preaching those, like, three times? One of them, he was Zach. Zach asked a question, and he said, who are you known for? I've been told that time I enter a room with somebody with a whole bunch of kids, that I put a smile on their face. I didn't believe it because, you know, she didn't believe it. So Chrissy, when I was having a panic attack, she told me when we were in the bathroom to calm me down, and she said that it's going to be okay, and that I was crying because of my mom, because I missed her. So Chrissy gave me a mom hug, and she said it's going to be okay, and she told me, she's like, it's okay because you always put a smile on all these kids' faces, and everybody has seen it, that every time I go in there, into a room full of children, I always put a smile on every single one of those faces. So I would say that God finally made it clear in my face that my gift is to make kids happy.
What I realized while we were there was that God provides, and he has a reason for everything that he does. So even though those kids live in such poverty, they still were there and able to come on the bus with us, which was what God wanted.
Let me share with you what Paige. Hannah was the intern there for 2 years, and one of her co-interns 1 year was Paige Harris. Paige got to go with us. She says, I've been there several times with my high school as a summer intern with Hannah, and then again on this trip. It's always nice reconnecting with friends on staff. They're so welcoming and encouraging. Some of them have come and gone over the years, but the campus has always looked the same, and the Blue Bus activities have always laid out the same way. You knew what to expect. This year, however, things were different. And she goes on to talk about the daily prayer times, and she talks about how we're feeding the people on the reservation at dinner. And she found those to be refreshing, and the prayer and the worship such an intentional addition that really transformed everything. The first day I wasn't able to go onto the reservation, and so Paige had to step up. What was our key word for the week? Was it something like flexibility? Yeah, flexibility. And so Paige had to be flexible, and she stepped up and taught the lesson. We brought some VBS curriculum that was built on the idea of God has a purpose for your life, because they have no hope. They don't see a purpose, and so we wanted to communicate to them that truth. And so she taught the lesson about Joseph and his being sold into slavery by his brothers and going to Egypt and what God's purpose was for him, and she did a really good job. And she says that really stretched her, because she's not a public speaker, she's not a storyteller, and she said, God provides. God took care of it. She says, God really worked through me, and the lesson was smoothly. Never underestimate the power of prayer. But she says the biggest thing, and this is what you've heard already from some of these people, is the biggest thing is the prayer time with Nezba. And again, her name means warrior woman who surrounds, and she has always surrounds the campus with prayer daily. She is the prayer warrior, and when she prays, she says, whew, goosebumps. She prays for every team member individually. The words coming out of her mouth were spot on. The words of encouragement she spoke over me and interceding on my behalf was exactly what I needed. And she has such a connection to God through prayer, and so incredible to witness. And she was excited about that. She brought one of her friends from Bartlesville, Beth. Beth has a servant's heart. I saw her step down and do things that nobody else wanted to do, and just do so without a word of complaint. None of these guys complained about anything all week long. It was really encouraging to watch. And she says she learned how important quiet time with God is. And even though she knows it's important part of aspect of your relationship with God, she says, I've always struggled with making special time with Him. But this week, I realized that prayer is the most powerful tool we have been given to fight the enemy. And when we ask, God is able to free each of us from whatever our struggles are. Prayer cannot just heal or bring us out of something, but if we have faith, it can heal others, bring others through battles too. And she says, when I took a moment out of each day just to thank Him for the blessings in my life, it changed my attitude. And she was reminded of that with some of the things with Nezba that she prayed with her as well. We had a phenomenal week. We had a week that was very impactful. We had a week where we got to be the hands and feet of Jesus in a different place through a ministry that we support financially, and we get to be there on the ground. That's what the t-shirts are. They're boots on the ground. We get to be there and provide an opportunity to serve them. 18 of us did in 5 days what it would have taken just their staff 6 weeks to accomplish or more. So what we did was a shot on the arm. But most importantly, what we did was we allowed consistency in their ministry. That blue bus has been driving onto the White Mountain Reservation since 1969. Not that exact bus, but a variation of buses since 1969. And we were not Parkview at that moment. We were Christians working through the ministry of AICM, and those people trust the blue bus. How many parents had a hard time putting their kids on that bus? None. Because they know. And so we were able to be a blessing to that ministry, to those people, and it was great. Church, you can be proud of the team you sent out there, because they did a good job. But I don't want it to stop there. I want what we bring back to be able to infiltrate all of us so that we can be the hands and feet of Jesus here. We don't have a blue bus. But we can reach out to our neighbors. We can reach out to the people across the street, the people we work with, the people these guys go to school with or are surrounded with on a daily basis. We can be the hands and feet of Jesus to those who need to see Him clearly. David, you have something else you wanted to add?
They talked about that rainbow. And I've always heard where there's one, there's always two. That rainbow was so bright it was very easy to pick out the second one. And I've never seen one that bright.
God's promise to his people is that he wants to draw them to himself and that he offers salvation. He offers hope. He offers an opportunity for people to know him. That happens all over this world. You got one more?
Yeah, I would like to just say another comment, too. Nesba, the last day before we left, she came in into our dorm there, and she just encouraged us, and then she gave us folders with Bible verses to bring home. And I know that she continues to take and pray for us that God will work with us and through us. And it's just such an encouragement that we know that she's there and she's praying for us that we will continue to take and be used by God.
There are a couple things that you can do and we can do from here. One is that we continue to support the ministry of AICM. They also have a child support program. These kids go into the school, but it takes a lot of money in order to put kids through a private school. And so what they do is for $30 a month, you can support a kid. My family supports a little girl named Ashton. Ashton is, I think, sixth grade this year, maybe seventh. She's got about 30 different families that support her. So 30 people giving $30 a month provides all of her tuition. It provides the dorm that she stays in when she's on campus. It provides food. It provides even Christmas gifts and birthday gifts and those kind of things for them while they're there. And so you can help out that way. But in order to follow the example of Nesba, the best thing that we can do is pray. AICM has the need of a couple sets of dorm parents. We need dorm parents in order to house these kids, and we're two sets short at this moment. Imogene is running the kitchen. Imogene is she's 18, and she's doing a phenomenal job, but she's going to college. And so they need somebody who can manage the kitchen. And then Thursday night, just before we left, Jeff texted all of the board members and said, "Now we have another need because the English teacher quit." That night, she texted him and said she was not coming back. So now we need an English teacher. We have several staff positions out there that need to be filled, and your prayers can be a big part of that. So pray for God to send people there to fill those slots, to step into some of those roles so that the ministry of AICM can continue to have an impact on those lives. You guys can have a seat. Nate, would you grab that mic or Lydia and put it on this stand for communion? We're going to have an opportunity here Nate, you can stay up here. Because we're going to have an opportunity for a song of decision. My challenge to you this morning is if you need to know who Jesus is, like some of the people on this reservation, then we want to walk you through that. My guess is that most of us in here do that. Or we know that already. What we need is to deepen that. I wish you guys could have heard some of Nesba's story. She's a success story of AICM, yes. She graduated from there and is now there working. But in between finishing school there and coming back, she experienced some pretty rough things in her life, and she has shared some of those things with us. And it was it's an amazing thing to hear God's story of redemption when God can take you when you are at the deepest and darkest point in your life and restore you. And he wants to do that. He wants to do that in all of our hearts, in all of our lives. He wants us to be redeemed for his sake. And sometimes that is a process that we have to we have to work through in our lives daily. It's powerful when it happens, and it's incredible when it happens. But it doesn't happen without Jesus. And so if there's an opportunity, if there's something that you need that we can pray with you for, or that you need to step out and say, I need to have a little bit more of Jesus in my life, maybe for the first time, I don't know. We're going to sing a song of invitation, and Nathan, would you be up front? And if somebody wants to come and pray, we would love to do that. If somebody has a decision, we would love to walk with you through that. Because what we learned this week, if there's anything, is that we don't do this on our own. It takes a church. It takes the whole body to function together in the ways that God wants us to. Why don't you stand and let me pray, and then we'll sing our song of so grateful that you are who you say you are. That because of you, Lord, we have an opportunity to be made right with you. That we have the opportunity to be redeemed, to be restored, to be made whole. I thank you for the examples of people like Nesba and some of the other staff there. I thank you for the examples of that we have right here in this congregation of people who were struggling and maybe at the lowest point of their lives. And when you step in and you do things, it is just incredible that you rejuvenate us. And so, Father, I just pray that you will do that even more. That you will work in us and through us, not in Arizona now because we're all back here, but that when we leave this place this morning, that the homes we go to, the jobs we go to, the school interactions that we will have beginning shortly with college and public school starting, and Lord, all of those different interactions, may we be the hands and feet of you to people who need to see very clearly. God, help us to proclaim the name of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.